in verse 3 right here. And I guess we can start at verse 1 just to kind of help us with the context. The Bible says, "And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister, whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend." Somebody say, "But Amnon had a friend." "Whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man." And Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you would add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the exposition of your most holy word. I pray that you would give me fluidity of speech and thought, Father God, that you would open up my heart, God, and allow your rivers of living waters to be poured into my heart and poured out, Lord God, into this sermon. I pray that life would come from this sermon, God, that salvation would come from this sermon, God, that sanctification would come from this sermon, that you would save the lives of your people, God, from being around the wrong person. I pray somebody hear this message tonight, God, and change their ways, God, and stay out of that car accident and not get into that shooting, God, and not go to that club, Father God, and not mess with that man with that disease, God. Let life come out of this, God, for you have come to give us life and life more abundantly, God. So God, in the name of Jesus, allow this sermon, God, to make you smile tonight, God. I present my life to you, God, my heart to you, God, my notes to you, God, my study to you, God, every scripture that I've ever learned to you, God. Use it, Father God. Let me be your toolbox tonight, God. And if you want to pull out a wrench, pull out a wrench. If you want to pull out a hammer, pull out a hammer, God. Whatever I have in the repertoire tonight, God, I present it to you. Hey, use it, Father God, and put a smile on your face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, give God some glory. Hey! Hallelujah. Saint to God, hallelujah. It's a regular week, so we don't have to get into no announcements. You know what I'm saying? We got prayer Thursday and church Sunday. I think y'all know that. Amen. So let's begin. Listen, we've been studying about King David, hallelujah, and all the things he's been through. And you already know about him and Bathsheba. You already know about the judgment through Nathan. You already know about, amen, his dealings, amen, with Uriah, amen, and the Ammonites. And we picked up in verse 13, and David is about to go through some things, man. And Amnon was in love with his half-sister, if y'all remember, amen, Tamar, who was the sister of Absalom, hallelujah. They were mixed, hallelujah, very beautiful people, hallelujah, as the Hebrews are when they are mixed, amen. And praise him. And so Amnon, he was in love with his sister, but the love was a lust, amen, because he didn't want nothing good for her. He just wanted, amen, he was physically attracted to her. And so we observe how Amnon could not do anything to his sister Tamar. In biblical times, especially in the Old Testament, unmarried daughters were kept from the company of men, amen, and boys and people of opposite gender. So he couldn't even get around her. He couldn't get no time with her to be alone. And we talked about how we need to take better care of our kids and making sure that they're not around people, amen, to give the devil an opportunity, a stumbling block, amen, or either put confidence in the flesh. And so, amen, I pray that we take heed to that and really watch our children. It might take us a little extra time. It might take us a little extra due diligence, amen, but to save them from a life of just shattered memories, amen, it'll be worth it. Come on, give God some glory, amen. We picked up in verse 4 and we began to talk about Amnon having a friend. Because if you remember, amen, because of the safety mechanisms and the precautions that the Hebrew people had taken, amen, he lusted after his sister, but the lust was dead, amen. It couldn't have no place to vent itself out at, amen. The safety mechanisms, the boundaries, the borders had contained, amen, what Amnon was trying to conceive to do in his heart. There was no way for him to be alone with her, to speak with her, to touch her, to try to do anything else with her, amen, because of those safety mechanisms. And if we do that with our kids, you'd be surprised of how many things, hallelujah, won't happen, hallelujah, when we just put the proper procedures in place. But the Bible tells us, but Amnon had a friend. You see what I'm saying? Amnon had a friend. And so, hallelujah, we began to talk about friends. You see, because in spite of the safety mechanism, his friend was able to give him a plan to get around the safety mechanisms. You with me so far? And we began to talk about the danger of the people that we hang around with. Amen. And I even played you the little song, Friends, How Many People Have Them? Amen. Y'all remember that? Amen. And I gave you the scripture in 1 Corinthians 15:33 that tells us, amen, be not deceived. Evil communications does what? It corrupts good manners. And the NLT says, don't be fooled. Bad company corrupts good character. It was like the basket of apples that I brought on the stage. Amen. And I showed you that apples kept under the correct conditions maybe could last, amen, a few weeks, even some would say even a month. But when you get one bad apple, amen, in that bushel, in that basket, amen, they won't last at all. They won't last but a couple of days because one bad apple spoils the bunch. And listen, let me tell you something. We don't always believe that, but it's a truth. It's a truth of scripture. And we fight and we say we can hang around who we want. We can talk with who we want. But God is trying to show us, number one, through his word, and number two, through the natural things, because the things that are seen bear witness to the things which are unseen. That's why Jesus spoke in parables. The kingdom of heaven is like, because we can learn things from our natural surroundings. And the decaying, degradation of good and fresh apples by just being around one rotten apple teaches us that bad company corrupts good character. John MacArthur said it like this: it is impossible, impossible to associate with wicked people without being contaminated. Somebody say contaminated. Contaminated by both their ideas and their habits. And saints of God, listen, it's like a virus. It's like a virus. And if you don't, and Brother Carl was praying that last night. We had a big time meeting and everything was great. Spirit of God fell. Brother Carl was praying and he spoke that. He said it's like a virus. And when one person catches something in the household, everybody that's close to him usually will catch it too. And that corruption, hallelujah, contaminates, it spreads, it infects. And if we don't take proper precautions, amen, and I'm going to show you sometimes, it's got to be radical precautions to stop the corruption from spreading. It's kind of like a doctor when he got a limb. You saw it in the spirit, huh? A doctor when they got a limb that just, amen, is, what is it, gangrene, or it's got something in it that's going to spread to the rest of the body. You see? Sometimes you got to go ahead and cut it off. You know what I'm saying? You got to just, and it don't feel good. It don't look good. Amen. But after it's all over, when that man walking around with his little stubby, but he with his wife and his kids, amen, and he can go home that night, amen, and you live through it all, you say, blessed be the name of the Lord, and you raise up your little stubby too. You look, you praise him. Because I should have been dead and gone. You know what I'm saying? MacArthur says that it contaminates. You see? Y'all, this is a truth. And so, listen, we talked about it. And I'm going to feel free to just kind of recap, all right? We talked about our proneness to corruption. How prone we are to it. As fallen human beings and all the things that's in our heart, our defections and all of our, amen, malfunctions that we have, the abuses we've been through, it makes us prone, amen, to corruption. Every single one of us, y'all, you know. And to think that we not is the height of pride. That somehow we would be better than. Somehow we would be better than. Even the angels who were in heaven, who saw God, their first estate was in a holy estate. Even them were subject to corruption. Amen. Listen to me. Adam's seed, Eve's daughters, listen to me. The angels are subject. You are subject to. And that's why we got to take precautions because of our proneness. We got to watch who we roll with. We're prone to corruption because of the praise of men. We want to be lifted up. We're prone to corruption because of our predisposition to rebellion. We don't like authority. And broken and dysfunctional homes don't help that at all. We're prone to corruption, amen, because, hallelujah, because of the pleasures of sin. And sometimes, amen, offers and innuendos are made to go with the enemy and to go with the corruption. Secondly, we talked about the people who corrupt us, the people we should stay away from. We talked about fools. Go from the presence of a foolish man. We talked about gossips. He that goeth about as a talebearer, revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him. We talked about lazy folk out of Thessalonians. We talked about angry folk. Don't go with an angry man unless you learn his ways. We talked about the lost people. Don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. We talked about the hypocrite, because even more away than staying away from lost folk that's doing wrong, you stay further away from folk that claim to be Christian that's doing wrong. Amen. He said, don't be nowhere near around that unless you pick up their ways. He said, stay away from dividers, the symbolists, people that's trying to break up, amen, what the Lord is trying to build. And God says in Romans, hallelujah, Romans 16, I beseech you, brethren, he says, mark them. Remember we said, with a permanent marker, mark them. Mark them. Mark them which cause divisions. And is divisions and offenses contrary to doctrine. It's bad doctrine and divisions. Bad doctrines that try to steal the word, steal the gospel away. He say, mark them. And he say, after you mark them, he says, avoid them. Stay away from them. You know? And then we talked about when they preach another gospel. Amen. Don't be around that. Don't go eat with them. Don't invite them in. Don't even wish them Godspeed, the Bible says. Listen, we're going to continue tonight. Amen. And we're going to talk about Amnon Had a Friend, part two. Somebody say part two. Amen. And we'll have 3 points tonight. I want to talk about something that I wanted to talk about last week. Amen. I'm going to talk about number one, virtual corruption. And then I'm going to talk about the proof of corruption. And then we'll talk about the protocols or the procedures for dealing with corruption. Amen. Because we can't just point it out to you and not tell you how to deal with it. Amen. You got to know how to deal with that. And like I said, sometimes it takes, amen, drastic measures, amen, to deal with corruption. Let's begin with virtual corruption. Somebody say virtual corruption. All right. Man, listen, last week I wanted to talk about this so bad. Hallelujah. But I'm going to talk about it right here tonight. You see, in today's world, the world we live in, saints, bad company, amen, don't have to really be in your physical presence anymore. Anybody hear me up in here? They don't really have to be with you. See, in the Bible days, they had to kind of be with you. Bad company, you see? But with all this modern technology, people can be in your company and be thousands of miles away and still be in your company. I'm here to tell you that regardless, amen, if they're actually in your home or riding in your car with you, or you're watching them on TV, you on the internet with them, or you're on the phone with them, or you're listening to the music that they put out, let me tell you, the scripture still is true. Bad company corrupts good manners. Anybody hear me here? Anybody hear me? There is a virtual corruption that takes place in the times in which we're living in. You don't have to be in their physical presence. Amen. Take, for instance, the TV. Amen. Like I like to call it, the devil vision. Amen. The devil vision is one example of evil company corrupting through media and over long distances. Now remember, I'm not going apostolic on you by no stretch of the imagination. You see? I don't watch it too much. No, I don't watch it too much at all. You know? But my kids, I let them watch certain things. And I don't know when was the last time, but every now and then we might watch some. So I'm not telling you to get rid of your TV, but the closer we get to the end, the less and less you're going to find wholesome programming. If we know our Bibles, the Bible says that the world is going to wax worse and worse. And anybody that's been living a little while, they can tell you that they used to turn on CBS and NBC, and they didn't see the things that they now see in today. You see what I'm saying? So I'm not telling you to get rid of your TV yet. But as we move on and as we go, listen to me. Listen to me. It didn't take long, no Joseph Gray. And listen, I wonder how it's going to be on regular TV when our kids get our age. You see? You see? Yeah. Virtual corruption. Saints, through the TV, we fellowship with people we would not normally fellowship in real life. You with me so far? We watch the Jerry Springer Show, and I know that's old, but that's how long I ain't been watching TV. And we watch all of the sitcoms and the talk shows, and we sitting there in all those people business. We watching Cheetahs, and we watching all them people business. Now listen to me. That's not people you would hang with. You wouldn't even invite them in your house. You wouldn't let your children go to their house or nothing like that. But through television, through virtual communication, these people are in our house and we are in their business. And we watching them go through every single thing. We watch them as they commit adultery. We watch them as they commit fornication, premarital. In some shows, they so cleverly written with humor, we actually cheer on adulterers and murderers and liars, amen, as heroes. Anybody hear what I'm saying? Yoking our hearts and creating as though it were soul ties with people who ain't no good. Oh, come on, somebody. Listen to me. Man, listen, Miss Karen, I was watching a cartoon just the other day. Well, it might have been the other week, you know. The other month, I was watching a cartoon. And me and my girls, we watching the cartoon. I ain't saying no names, you know. But as we watching the cartoon, amen, the character lies to their parents. Right in front of my daughters. I say, And you got to understand, we'll put this thing on and go wash dishes or go clean up. And you know what I'm saying? This thing is, we, and they watching liars. And the cartoon don't make it like a bad thing. And some of the other cartoons, amen, they got witchcraft, warlocks, sorcerers, magic. And it's like we done forgot our Bible when it comes to the TV. And we would never hang with sorcerers and warlocks. But we quick to turn it on the TV and let our children walk through the castle with them. Oh, God. Now, either y'all quiet because it's boring, or y'all quiet because it's convicting. I pray that it's convicting tonight. You see? We have to watch our fellowship through virtual company. And it's not just our children. Watch what your children watching, but watch also what you watching, what your spouse watching. Because a lot of the bad behavior, amen, is coming out because we're sitting in front of something and feeding ourselves with it. You are what you eat, my friend. And sad to say, we living in a day where most Christians spend more time in front of the tube than they spend with the truth. Amen? All right? And it's a tremendous problem. I've already told you and showed you who owned the TV companies. I've already shown you that it's the Ashkenazis that own it. Now, what you need to do is go back in time and do your research. And you can see that there were other countries that they went in, and when they went in, they bought all of the publications and the TV and all of the communications. Go back and look at Germany in the 20s and 30s and in the 40s. And watch when the Ashkenazis took control of media and magazine. And watch what they began to put out in Germany. Watch. The first time homosexuality was ever put on TV was from an Ashkenazi-owned station in Germany. Go do your research. Go do your research. Evil communications corrupts good manners. Now listen to me good. I love the cable networks. I love them because some of my brothers work for them and they pay them a check. That's the only reason why I love them. And I feel bad about talking about them sometimes because I know some good brothers that's working for them. But I got to talk about them. Yeah. Evil communication. You ever notice how the cable station's name say communications? Evil communications corrupt good manners. But it's not just TV. It's also music. You see? When we sit there and we listen to that music, amen, we fellowshipping with people that we would not normally fellowship. And I find in Christian churches, amen, some parents let their children listen to whatever they want to listen to. They actually buy the music. What they don't understand is that the music is so tied to Satanism and Luciferianism. All the signs, the symbols, the Baphomet, the horns, it's dark, man. All the cursing. A lot of these people have made a deal with the devil to get where they at. You know what I'm saying? Now, boy, you know what I'm talking about. That's why we're trying to do clean music. God, you know, God music, but God music. Because the other stuff is straight Lucifer. Remember now, he was a worship leader. He know music, yeah. All right? So watch what you're listening to. If you need to find some good stuff to listen to so you can keep your kids in company with godly folk and you keep in company with godly folk and you don't want evil communication to corrupt your good manners, your good morals, your good character, go ahead, tune in to Revive Soul. Go ahead and pick you up some CDs, amen, from Bud God. Go ahead and go back there and Brian, then put worship CDs out. You ain't got to listen to the devil's music. There's an alternative. You see? Come on, give God some glory for that, amen? Yeah. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Also the internet. When we on that internet, we in the presence of bad company a lot of times. Not all the time, but sometimes. Which times, Pastor? Well, pornography. You know? That's not even a woman that you would talk to, but you're watching on that. That's not a woman you would marry. But you're in the company of that. And that company, whether you think it or not, is destroying you. And destroying your marriage. And it makes you leave that computer screen and go out in public. And now you're trying to act out fantasy with strangers and you don't know where them people been. And that bad company done corrupted you so much, now you won't commit adultery, fornication, bestiality. Now you won't do all kind of stuff. You won't do the things that the devil wants you to do, which is unnatural. Yeah, Omar? Because evil communication corrupts good manners. But also on that phone. You see? That phone? Oh, goodness. Man, I don't know if that phone is a blessing or a curse, man. Sometimes I wish we still had the ones that was tied up to the wall. You know what I'm saying? You know, the one when you went too far. Oop, you know what I'm saying? Them? Boy, listen, sometimes I pray we still had that. You know how many problems come through that phone? You know how much gossip go through that phone? You know how many people talking to people that they should not be talking to on the phone? You know how much corruption going on? You know? It's amazing, man. I'm talking about virtual corruption here. We're talking about friends, and they don't have to be in your company. I want to broaden your horizon, open your eyes, and so that you can see the different manifestations of how the devil is sneaking corruption into your life. You see, this is all I'm doing. And man, that phone, you say, Pastor, is it just talking? No, it's texting too, man. You heard about this, you saw this, you heard this. One person that's defiled, and it's a corrupter, a distribution center of corruption, with a phone, before the end of the day, can corrupt 100 people, if not 1,000 people. Listen. So we got to be careful, you know. Women and men, listen, monitor your spouse. Monitor your spouse. I know we're living in this worldly age where some kind of way the devil has made it possible for spouses to put codes on their phone and act like now they can have this hidden portal, this hidden door that they can hide from their spouse. You see, my Bible tells me that the two becomes one flesh. And what I know, she know, and what she know, I know. Listen to me, man. Monitor your spouse, man. You see, you got to learn how to do things the Bible way, the Hebrew way. The Bible says that Adam and Eve were without clothing in front of each other. That means that they had nothing to hide. When you're hiding some stuff, it's usually a sign that you're doing wrong. You understand what I'm saying? You see, because you do things in the darkness, in the shadows. You won't walk outside and talk. You won't talk before you get down out the house. You won't send little text messages, and you won't put stuff under somebody else's name. And you're saying, like, man, it's innocent. No, it's not innocent if you got to hide it. It's not innocent if you got to hide it. You know? Using all kind of apps and stuff like that to hide that. Listen, man, the devil operates in the shadows. And you can initially begin, amen, with good motives. Amen. But once you get in those shadows, when you get in those shadows, you have to be in those shadows with the entities that's in the shadows. And the entities that's in the shadows are the enemies of God. You know what I'm saying? And so we got to be careful of that. Y'all work on that. You know? I'm not saying it's going to happen overnight. Y'all go home. All right, give me your phone and boot up. I'm not saying that. But sit down and talk about it. And be like, look, I want to be transparent with you. I don't want to hide anything from you. Listen, I love you, and I'm not trying to cheat on you or have another intimate relationship with nobody else. I'm not trying to be verbally or emotionally tied to nobody. And if I am, you're going to know what's going on. You know? Because, listen, you got my back, man. You got my back. You can help me. See when people are corrupting me, when I can't see it. You know what I'm saying? That's how my dude do. I call him my dude. That's how my dude do. Sometimes I'll be in the house, I tell her, huh, bro, I think she a brother. She'd be like, you think you're talking to Cordell or somebody? You know? And it goes deep into, you know, learning how to parent your children and monitoring they talking and making sure they not hooking up with corruptors. Phone, texting, amen. Chat rooms are big now where they can actually be talking to pedophiles and people that they would not normally hang with. Facebook and whatnot. Now, I'm not no Facebook guru, and I don't know how hard it is to monitor the pages, that's what they call that, of your children. But I don't know if you would even want them on there if you can't monitor it. You know what I'm saying? You got to be able to see who they talking to. You know? Especially those of us, amen, with a calling on our lives. You see? Those of us that that God is using to do things or going to do things. You know? You gotta guard yourself and the ones you love to keep that corruption out. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. All right. Let's go into it. All right. Let's talk about the second point. We'll talk about proof of corruption. Proof of corruption. You see, negative influence is not always obvious. Meaning that you could be like the frog in the pot of water, that they turn up the heat gradually and never know that you're boiling. And you in that pot saying, something smell good. And the cook saying, yeah, it's frog legs. You see? You can be in an environment that gradually changes and never notice the change. Yeah. So you need proof of corruption. You know? It's like shoes that get old. You can't even see them getting old. I hope y'all don't see I got some old shoes on right now. Because you can't see it, because in your eyes, they still look the same. They look good, bro, girl, you know what I'm saying? Thank you, Father. So sometimes we need proof of corruption. Listen. Listen, sometimes we can't see the damage other people doing to us. All right? And an outside person can see it. A person on the outside, just listen, I'm talking about just from the outside, looking outside in. And if you're a child of God, listen, God's going to send somebody. God's going to send somebody and say, listen, who you hanging with, who you talking to, who you online with, listen, they're not good for you, man. Now, whether we listen or not is on us, all right? But remember what God says in his word, amen. He says he never does anything without letting his prophets know. Amen? Amen? He never does. That's Amos 3:7. And listen, you're a child of God. And Abba can look down from heaven and he knows when somebody is polluting you. And if he's a good father, he's always going to try to intervene. He's always going to try to stop it. He's always going to try to get it before you get infected or contaminated. You with me so far? Because he knows once you get contaminated, to salvage you, it's going to take some quarantine. It's going to take some triage. It's going to take some pumping of some stomach. It's going to take some medicinal. So, Lord, come on, get me before I get corrupted, God. Get me. Show them to me. You see what I'm saying? But sometimes third parties can actually see the poison, the spell, the virus, the contamination. You see? Pastor, why can't we see when we being corrupted all the time? Saints, it's simple. Sometimes we can't see when we being corrupted because of love. Because of love. The very thing that sometimes our strength can oftentimes really be a weakness sometimes as well. You know? Now, let me tell you something. I would rather love, though. I'd rather love and get hurt. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying don't love, no. If you're going to err one way, go ahead, love. Don't be the cutthroat. I ain't being friend of nobody. But just to be real, our love for people, amen, can get in the way. Can you agree with me right now that sometimes we love people that's not good for us? Anybody ever been through that before? Huh? Now, listen, I'm telling you, it cuts across the board. I'm talking about friends. I'm talking about family. I'm talking about church folk. I mean, you fall head over heels and you love somebody, man, and listen, I mean, you down with them, man. And sometimes, amen, they not good for you. You know? I think about Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 11. You know? The Bible says about Solomon in 1 Kings 11 in verse 1. The Bible says, but Solomon did what? He loved many strange women. He loved them, y'all. He loved them, but they wasn't good for him. And sometimes you can love people not good for you, but you can't see it because of the love. You see? By the time we get to verse 4, look what the people in Solomon's life that he loved. Look what they did him. In verse 4, it tells us, for it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives did what? They turned away his heart after other gods. Sometimes we don't see corruption because of love. You know? And I'm going to tell you, corruption is not overnight, no. It's not overnight. It's not even a week. It could take months. It could take years. But the person in your life just sowing, little bit by little bit. I always heard that the best way to poison somebody, amen, is not to give them the full dose all at once. Not like I'm going to poison nobody. I'm just saying. I read a lot of stuff. If y'all went around my house, I don't know why I do, but one of the things they used to do, they put a little bit of arsenic, untraceable, a little bit here, a little bit there, and the body can't get rid of it. So it just built up the poison of corruption. Without God, the body can't get rid of it. And they just lace you with a little bit here, a little question, a little doubt here. And it just builds up like the arsenic in your life. And you can't get rid of it. And before you know, your bloodstream is filled with it. And you're like, when did this happen? When did it start? It been started. Your love just blinded you to it. God will always send somebody. He'll always give you a dream, a revelation. To let you know, listen, be careful. They done slip something in your drink, man. You see? But it's not only love, saints, that blind us sometimes. It's why we need proof of corruption, because we blind. And it's not just love that blinds us. Amen. Our friend may be a wolf in sheep's clothing. All right? Because some people, listen, some people can love but still see. All right? They love, but they can still see. And usually that's a gift. You can kind of discern. You're kind of a good judge of character, and you can kind of see some things. All right? But even those of us that's good judges of character, listen, some people, amen, can act Christian better than Christians. Anybody hear me up in here? Now, I'm just flowing because, listen, I've been at this a long time, and sometimes you learn by reading, and other times you learn through pain. All right? You got some folk you can't tell, and it's hard. And you look at them, and you got some people who are naturally good in life. They're not the ones that's going to smoke or drink or get high or, you know, do things like that, you know. But they still not all the way in. And while their shortcomings might not be overt sins, because some of y'all just look for overt sins in people. And you don't look at the sins of the... You ain't never looked there. You just looking. Okay, he's not getting high. But you ain't looking at how high and full of pride he is, or how full of lust he is, and how full of jealousy she is, and how full of bitterness they are. We all got our stumbling blocks. But what we normally do when we look to see if somebody fake or real, we just look at the outside. And I'm here to tell you that people can have a veneer of Christianity. Something could be gold-plated and not real gold. Oh, I'm trying to help you right now, man. Jesus said it like this in Matthew 7. He said, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing. The outside, the veneer. On the inside is a wolf, but on the outside are sheep. You see? Now, I know your friend might not be a pastor or a prophet or a teacher or nothing like that. I'm not saying that it's somebody, amen, that's like that. What I'm saying is that you could have a friend that's close to you who really look good on the outside, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. That's what the Bible says. And sometimes, Ms. Jen, we are corrupted and blinded by corruption because we're looking at the sheep clothing and we're not listening for the growl under the sheep clothing. Anybody hear me? All right. I've had friends like this in high school, man. On the surface, them boys were stellar fellas. Good grades, this, that, everything. I'm talking about when you brought him home, mama would be happy. Ooh, you're hanging with such and such. And I'm like, mama, if you only knew. But at that time, I was running too. You know what I'm saying? You see? Yeah. That's why the Bible says in the very next verse, you shall know them by their fruits. You see? But once again, listen, a lot of us in here have been planting gardens and different things of that nature. That's what we've been doing. The Lord been having the Hebrews on learning how to grow our own food, you know, for whatever reason. But when you want to inspect fruit, those of us that kind of do gardening, you know how close you got to get to that fruit? We just have a little garden, amen, you know what I'm saying? But I got to get up in there. You know what I'm saying? I got to cross over some things. And what I'm saying is that don't be a fruit inspector from far. You got to inspect it closely. You see? Because they got some stuff out there, amen, with all of the technology that look like real fruit. But you try biting it and see if it don't mess your filling up. You understand what I'm saying? You look at that stuff, it gets you hungry, man. You know? And so you want to be a close inspector of fruit. Not a judge. I'm not a judge. I'm an inspector. You see what I'm saying? I'm an inspector. He made us inspectors. And so sometimes, y'all, people get close to us because we have not done due diligence to inspect all the fruit. And they kind of like the Pharisees in Matthew 23 and 27. Jesus says, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees. He say, hypocrites. For ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful, where? Outward. But are within full of what? Full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Listen, Christians. Listen good. There are times when you can be corrupted by somebody and you be blinded by love. And there are other times when you are blinded by deception because you don't know who you're cool with. You don't know who you're tight with. And all the while, they just slipping you that arsenic. Amen. And before time, you're going to be 100% corrupted. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. I'm hoping that's helping somebody. With your friendships, amen. Okay, Pastor, listen, how can I tell when they done put that arsenic in me? How can I tell? What's the signs that I'm being corrupted? You see? And let's talk about it under this point number two before we get too deep into our time here. When you're being corrupted, amen, one of the things that come out is you will begin to get careless about the things of God. When you buy a bad friend, but you love him, might be your sister, might be your brother, might be your boy, amen, since Head Start, But you spend time with them, amen. And the more time you fellowship with them, the less you want to be at church, the less you want to read your Bible, the less you want to pray. And it's something that happens, amen, almost subconsciously. It's happening, amen, and you can barely notice it. And somebody on the outside will see it. They'll say, yeah, you're hanging with such and such again. When was the last time you read your Bible? You're hanging with such and such again. Oh, you missed church again? And it's a sign, y'all, that we got some corruptors in our lives. We don't feel the same about the things of God like we used to feel. We don't have that fire just to get in His Word like we used to. And it's because something got in our system. It's because some poison done seeped in. This is just one of the signs. It might not be your sign, but it could be. You got that girlfriend, that cousin that come by. You know? It could be. Let me give you another sign. Another sign of you being corrupted is that this person, this friend, just like, hallelujah, here we are with Amnon and Jonadab, this friend brings the worst out of you. Brings the worst out of you. Here we are, amen, Amnon, he has it in him. Yeah, it's in him. But for the moment, it's contained. But this person is going to give ventilation to the problems that you have on the inside of you. You know? And I'm telling you, not everybody is supposed to be friends together, though. Certain chemicals you put together make explosions. You know what I'm saying? Everything not meant to be together. And I know y'all been cool and y'all, you and me will never part. But you better add in that, if God say the same. Because the moment you start corrupting me and I don't feel the same about the things of God, or you begin to bring the worst out of me. You know, when you're with these people in this relationship, amen, you start making questionable decisions. And people around you start to say, wait, I thought you was in. You begin to do things, amen, that you usually wouldn't. Behaving like you, hallelujah, like people you used to talk about. You begin to do things you used to avoid. And the boundaries you put up in your life to keep you from stumbling on that besetting sin. When you hang with these people, those boundaries begin to go. I'm not going to ride in this neighborhood. You find yourself back there. I'm not going to walk in these stores. You find yourself back there. I'm not going to, hallelujah, give nobody my number or holler or flirt. When you're with these people, you find yourself right back there. It's proof, my friend, that you're hanging, that you're chilling, that you're being with a corrupter. When you want a friend, you want somebody that lift you up. You want somebody that lift you up and not pull you down. Hey, God, you want when they leave, amen, you want to feel like, man, I feel good. But to be able to discern that, you got to be able to discern your own heart. You got to be able to do a spiritual diagnostic on yourself. And most people can't do that. You know, people that watch their diet and what they eat, like Noel, you can tell when you eat something bad. Because it gives you an aftertaste or you got a real bad, you know, got, you know, it's just something. We need to begin to use that discernment that we use on what we put in our body with the people we hang with. Do we have a bad aftertaste? How we feel after we with him? You see? And I'm skipping all over. That's another point, but I'm in it, so I'm going with it. Amen? There was a time, amen, me and my little wife, way back in the day, we used to hang with a certain couple. Amen. And we used to go to their house all the time and chill with them and stuff like that. And I began to notice, amen, after we would be with them. And it seemed like we was having a good time, laughing and everything. But can I tell you that sometimes you can be in a company of somebody and some things are happening behind the veil. In the spiritual. And every time we would leave their company, we would wind up getting an argument. We in the car backing up and we get in an argument. Now, we not mad at each other. And we ain't done each other nothing. And I can remember myself pulling up to us and I'm like, what are we fussing for? You know? And she'd be like, I'm fussing because you fussing with me. I'm fussing because you fussing with me. What had happened was we was in the company of corruptors. And we was getting a bad aftertaste. You see? Listen, go ahead and discern. Because a lot of times when you get out of that company, you're gonna be agitated. Wow. Or heavy. Depressed. Or not wanting to do right. Can you do a self-diagnostic? You know how they put them cars cold and they hook them up and the machine tell what's wrong with the car? Go in your prayer closet and let God hook us up and do a diagnostic on us and say, God, what am I feeling after being in their presence? You see? And it'll be a sign to tell us whether we just have ingested poison or we've been edified and ministered grace by the company we have been in the presence of. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Yeah. When we become critical of others is another one, you see. When we become critical of others, we can tell we've been in a corrupt environment, you see. A lot of the times it's people that you never had a problem with before. But you leave their presence and now you got a problem. It's evidence of corruption. An example of that would be like in high school again. You had your boys or you had your girls, amen. And let's say one of your girls didn't like another girl in school. Now this girl ain't never done you anything. But she done talked to your friend man when they was in Head Start, kindergarten, preschool. You know what I'm saying? And so now, amen, she got beef with this girl. All right? When we was in high school, what would happen 9 times out of 10? You don't even know the girl. You don't even have nothing against her, but you done been talked to her about her. She thinks she's something and this and that. And now when you see her at lunch, now she got to watch her back, not only for your friend, but she got to watch her back for you, and you rolling your eyes and stuff like that, and she ain't done you nothing. It's evidence that you done been corrupted. You see what I'm saying? And most of the time, amen, you can, listen, it's a litmus test. You can tell it right off the bat, all right? Because language is an art. Somebody can talk to you and play you, and you never know it. I'm telling you, they teach us in law school. It's certain words you use and you can say. The positioning of the words and the different type of descriptive words you use, and you can make somebody think something and you don't even really say it. It's through innuendos, insinuations, suggestions. It's a form of witchcraft is what it is. And you leave that, well, they never actually said nothing like that. No. Don't go by the words. Go by the message behind the words. What it made you feel like and what it made you do. All right? And the thing about it is most of the time, all right? Now, listen, I done got played before. I leave the meeting, amen, and I don't like the person that they don't like. That's how you can tell. When you begin not to like the person that they don't like, and the person has never really done anything to you, it is a sign of corruption. Oh, God, have mercy. Listen to me, man. This thing is so deep. That's why God say evil communication corrupts good manners. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. It is impossible to fellowship with them and not be contaminated. You see, it produces strife and beef when there was none, and it produces a bad aftertaste. You know? Listen to me. Those are some of the proofs of corruption. You know, to give you a scriptural basis for it, let's talk about the three, amen, major entities in our universe. Amen. We have God, the Most High, Yahweh, Elohim, the one seated on the circles of the earth. We have his enemy, Satan, the devil, and we have man. We have creation, and you can link in that man, angels, and everything. All right? God is good all the time. You see what I'm saying? He really not trying to hurt nobody or do nobody wrong. But he has an enemy. And Satan, which that name means the adversary. Devil, Diablo, means the accuser of brethren. It means slanderer. And what the devil does, amen, is slander the Most High. He corrupts. Now, in the Garden of Eden, you got God, who had been nothing but good to Adam. And the slanderer come, and evil communication, corrupting good manners, began to talk as though it were to Eve. You know? And Eve was deceived, and Adam was deceived. You see, because once a person is corrupted by a corrupter, they become a corrupter. Oh, God. What did Eve do after she ate? Listen to me. That's why that rotten apple spread to the other apple, which becomes rotten itself and spreads to. Yeah. It's a virus. It's like the movies y'all watch. You know them zombie movies? You don't even have to see that zombie bite that person. They go in the room and then you see the zombie going, oh, you say, oh, they got him. You understand what I'm saying? It won't be long. And you watching the movie. She gonna turn. She turn. Look her eyes. Look her eyes. This corruption is like one zombie of the enemy creating another zombie of the enemy. Creating another zombie of the enemy. And he'd been slandering the Most High since before the garden. And he'd been spreading his corruption since before the garden. And when they took him down, he drew his tail, slandered, corrupted, and took a third with him. And when he got down to earth, the slander continued in the garden. Had God said, The slander continues today. Why does God allow bad things to happen? The slander continues today. There is no God. The slander continues today. The Bible is not real. The slander continues today. Do what thou wilt, and not what thus saith the Lord. And before it's all over, friends, listen to me good. Before it's all over, he's going to be cast down again. All right? With the corruption, he took a third of the angels. On earth, he's going to take two-thirds of the earth. He's going to take more men than angels. And there's going to be some people that go to hell. A hell that was never prepared for them. Because they wasn't keeping their eye open to corruption. Listen to me. Let me talk with you about the protocols, the procedures for dealing with corruption. We're going to try to do this one fast. Amen. Y'all still up out there? All right. Pastor, I have discerned somebody who's not good for me in my life. What do I do? You know? The first thing you want to do, amen, is to begin to distance yourself from them. That's the first thing. And you want to do a graduated approach to it. Because you want to be as merciful as you can, because if you can continue to be cool with them without being corrupted, then that's what we want. Because you may be able to save a brother or save a sister. But don't get me wrong. Amen. There are some people that you're going to have to go straight to step three. All right? So I just want to introduce that caveat. You know? You want to try to begin to distance yourself from them. That means that you're not spending as much time as you used to with them. You're not on the phone incessantly with them. Till your ear hurt. Till you wake up from bed and your arm like this. You know, that's too much talking. In the multitude of words, sin is present. It's always going to be present when you talk too much. So don't spend a lot of time with them in person, on the phone, through virtual means. Don't be going to their house all the time. Amen. The Proverbs talk about that as well. You don't want to be at everybody's house every time. That's my friend. No. You weary your neighbor when you go to your neighbor's house too much. That's when beef starts. You got to use wisdom. Now you got to use wisdom. You got to use wisdom. A lot of time, all that coming together all the time like that. Sometimes it's because it's a little corruption going on, right? Secondly, amen, this is the next step. It's another graduated approach. Okay, I'm not spending as much time with them, Pastor, but I still feel like they're kind of getting to me, man, you know? Then you want to set some parameters. You want to set some boundaries, okay? I'm not going to spend this time with them, amen. But when I get with them, it's not going to be too much, but when I get with them, all right, it's going to be certain things we're going to talk about and certain things we're not going to talk about. Yeah, amen. 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 It's just that some things are going to be off limits, amen, in conversation. And to me, I think that everything is not to be talked about. Amen. That's just wisdom. And I remember, amen, one brother in here, amen, I mean, listen, he had a situation where family members were on him and griping about him being in this church and this and that and the other. And every time they went there, amen, they was on him, you know. And if you're not careful, you continually subjecting yourself to a situation where people are harping on you, amen. Repetition sometimes affects us. That's why you hear commercials being ran over and over again. If repetition didn't work, they wouldn't spend billions of dollars on it. But it works the same with people gnawing at your ears. You know? And they continue talking to you about this and about that. Amen. And some of us don't have the fortitude to stand up. And so we lay down. And we do what they say. Well, this brother, amen, went over there and they started the same old gripe about this church and that church and whatever like that. And he said, look, y'all family, and I love y'all. But if you're going to continue talking about me, my quest to know God, the church that I'm called to, I will not be able to come here anymore. Are you with me so far? So at that moment, listen, we can still be cool. But I am going to set a parameter. You're not going to corrupt me. You know what I'm saying? Setting parameters might not only be conversational boundaries, but it might be geographical boundaries, all right? I'm not going to hang with you in the neighborhood. If I see you at work, great. If I see you at church, hallelujah. But we're not going to go hang at 12th Street in Pershing where we used to hang, doing what we used to do. It's a parameter. You know what I'm saying? It's the second step to before you cut them off. It's like, look, I still want to chill with you, but it's certain places we're going to chill. It's certain things we're going to talk about. Amen. There's another parameter that you could use. Say you and your boy used to get takala. All right? And every time y'all get by yourself, it seemed like he pulling a 22 out his socks. You understand what I'm saying? A old brew out the back pocket. You know what I'm saying? He always got it with him. Well, you say, man, I'm tired of falling. I love God too much to allow this brother, amen, to allow me to walk in disobedience. So what you do, you set a parameter. You say, look, my dude, I'll continue to hang with you. But I can't hang with you by ourselves no more. Because when we by ourselves, we don't pull out the best within each other. We go drink, we smoke, we get high, we want to run the women when we by ourselves. We want to gossip when we by ourselves. Amen. Listen, I'm going to chill with you. But we're going to have an accountability partner with us, man, to watch us, man. It's not that I don't love you. I do love you, but I love you so much I don't want us to destroy one another. Because we're just not good for each other. You know? And so we set parameters. Here's the last thing. I've tried to distance myself. I've tried to set parameters. But you're killing me. You're killing me softly. Quietly. Intermittently. You're polluting me. I got to cut you off. And the Bible says, if thy right hand cause thee to sin, cut it off. Now, if I'm going to cut off a member on my own body, for sure I'm going to cut off a Hebrew, a Negro. You know what I'm saying? If you're going to make me stop, listen, you ain't got to go home. You know what I'm saying? Hey! You got to cut some people off. Now, us older Christians, amen, that's been in the faith a little while, we know about that. It's just certain people we just cannot continue to hang with. You know what I'm saying? It's just not going to happen. So we cut them off, you know what I'm saying? And to do that is really scriptural, y'all. I know we live in this soft age of not being able to make the hard decisions. You know? We live in that age. But my wife always tells me, she said, you know, if we would just listen to the Bible, go from the presence of a foolish man. That means cut him off. He that go about as a talebearer, a gossip, revealing secrets, meddle not with him. That means cut him off. Mark them that cause divisions. Avoid them. That means cut them off. If I can't stop you from polluting me by taking mitigated measures, then I'm going to have to cut you off. Because I'm not going to let you kill us both up in here. Amen. All right. But Pastor, he the only friend I have. She the only friend I have. The Bible says this. Not the Bible. George Washington, rather. Good old Georgie boy. Georgie boy say this. Associate with men of good quality. For it is better to be alone than in bad company. Woo! I think they had a whole song about that. I could do bad. You know what I'm saying? Come on, man. Come on, man. I'd rather be alone. But the funny thing about it is that, listen, God tells us when we get rid of something for him, he's going to restore a hundredfold what we get rid of for him. All right? All right? Let's end this off. Let's end this off. Let's end this off. Y'all keeping me long. It's getting late up here. Let me talk with you about something that's called collateral damage. Collateral damage. Collateral damage is a military term, amen. That means that sometimes, amen, when you're trying to get somebody or something or achieve a mission, amen, innocent people, good people get hurt along the way. Right? Collateral damage. There's sometimes when you have to deal with an issue of corruption, you're going to have to cut some things off. There's going to be some good people that's going to get hurt. You know, I have in my notes, good people may have to suffer when we cut off corruptors. And sometimes, like I said earlier, when you got an original corruptor with a problem and they so good at corrupting, they begin to corrupt others. Now, follow me. The corruptor corrupts a good person. I'm talking about a person that's great in and of themselves, by themselves, without the corruptor. It's a person you would leave with your kids, a person that has been good to you, bless you. You know what I'm saying? Hallelujah. And all of a sudden, they get bit by a zombie. And it's nothing harder in the movie when a person you love, that's a good person, get bit by a zombie. Oh, goodness. Now I got it. I'm talking about here collateral damage. And collateral damage happens. Because you see, you don't let even a good person that's defiled and corrupted be by you to corrupt and mess up you. Not even a good person. This is why I'm telling you, stay away from corruptors. You see what I'm saying? Because when you get corrupted, I got to deal with you a certain way. I have to. And I'm about to show you that God does the exact same thing with all those that's corrupted by the original corruptor. I'm about to show you here. Wait. There will be collateral damage. Stay away from them. Stay away from them. Stay away from it like the plague. Because when you get corrupted and defiled and it's bad enough to the place where we can't reconcile you, where we can't get you back, where we can't pump this thing out you, and you done got so messed up, in Genesis, Abraham went through the same thing. The Bible tells us the story about Abraham and Lot. Two righteous men. Two good people. Two good people fall out for something that ain't got nothing to do with them. Some other people fell out. Oh, I'm preaching to somebody up in here. Some other people. And in Genesis 13:7, and there was strife between who? Between the herdmen of Abraham and the herdmen
of Lot.
Strife, beef. You on my squad, you beefing with somebody on their squad. The corruption spreads. Now Lot and Lot wife tripping with Abram. Lot, I ain't never did you nothing, dog. I don't even want to do you that. That's not in my heart to do you that. Abram saying, I'm the one with the promise. I'm the one that been called out of Ur. I just brought you with me. And because you was yoked with me every time I got blessed, I made sure to... And now you gonna let this beef that two herdmen got going on come between me and you? Two good people. A corrupter somewhere. But how does Abram deal with it? Is he just gonna let Lot and his wife that's corrupted be with him, live with him, and it's gonna be strife and arguments and we walking and we rolling our eyes at each other and it's... Nah. The Bible said, listen, as much as it lie within you, be at peace with all men. Yeah. That's how TV land get along. TV land just keeps strife. That's why everybody got stress and heart attacks and high blood pressure. They live with strife. And they keep people around that they got beef with. They live... God had called us to peace. You understand what I'm saying? Now listen to me good. Now, man, I'm trying to teach you a God principle. You think God let Lucifer stay in heaven when he was corrupted? You think God was just going to walk around heaven and there was going to be some beef in here and it was going to just let him keep divide? He got a third. What are you going to do? Let him get two-thirds? Nah. And he not only kicked out the agent of corruption, he kicked out everybody that was corrupted with him. Why? Because a little leaven. Let's go back to Abram. 13:8. And Abram said, Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen. Why? For we be brethren. We both good people. We both believers. We ain't got to live like this. Verse 9. Is not the whole land before us? You ain't got to stay with me, Lot. And we ain't got to live in this condition of animosity and enmity between each other. The whole land is before you. Look what he tell Lot. He said, listen, if thou wilt take the left hand, and I will go right. If thou depart to the right, I'm going to go left. But one thing we're not going to do is stay here and play this game of beef and strife. That's what we're not going to do. That's what we're not going to do. You can pick any way you want to go. Take anything you want to take with you when you go. But go. Listen, this is how you deal with corruption. You cut it off. And you trace the corruption all the way up to the shoulder if you got to. But you cut it off. Collateral damage. As we look at God and humanity and Satan, this is what's going to happen in the end. Collateral damage. Satan is deceiving, manipulating, slandering, and he's gathering him a team, a squad, all defiled, and he's pulling them unto himself. And God trying to keep a people from being defiled. He even went as far as sending his only begotten son to die for our sins. And he given an opportunity for anyone who is on the devil's team, who been slandered, corrupted, and defiled. And he says, listen, I don't care if you're in his kingdom. Listen, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I'm going to give you rest. You can switch teams. You can switch teams. If the corruption is not that bad, we can pump that thing out you. We can reconcile you, amen. You can renew your mind as far as what you think about me and the lies that you've been told, amen. And we can work this thing out. This is what God is saying. This is what God is saying. And he's saying, listen, whosoever believes in me shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You see? But I need to explain something to you, God. That invitation and that door will not be open forever. There is going to be a time when God draws a line in the sand as he did in heaven. And he say, look, all right, who is on the Lord's side? All right. And all of us that took the invitation of grace, guess what? We're going to run me. And all those that done believe the lies of the slanderer going to remain where they at. And there's going to be some good people in there. There's going to be some good people in there. And you think God not going to cut it off? You think God just going to live in this new universe with wickedness and evil and people that hate him and beef? No. Let there be no strife between us. He's going to draw a line in the sand. And it's going to be collateral damage. And they're going to all fall away. I could see the beast falling. And angels with him. And people with him. And God looking and saying, you chose your way. You chose your way. You chose your way. You chose to be corrupted. I was good to you. But you chose to believe a snake. This is what he does. God's going to cut it off. We ain't never seen him. We ain't never seen operation like he operate. We soft now. We soft. And that day, look, he say, the Bible say that they all going to be sent to a place prepared for the devil and his angels. Who team you on tonight? Who team you on tonight? You with God or you with the devil? You know what I'm saying? You know? You with the corruptors? You with the corruptors or you with the called? You see? You with Lot and his herdmen or you with Abraham? Listen to me, God. If you on the wrong team tonight, the beauty of it is you can switch teams. All you got to do is admit that you're a sinner. Believe that Jesus Christ died for all your sins. And confess, amen, Jesus as your Lord. You say, devil, forget you. You a liar and a gossip and accuser of brethren and a slanderer. I'm going back to my Father's house. You can be saved tonight. And you won't have to be a part of the collateral damage. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much, God, for your word. We thank you more so for your word and your ways. And Father, teach us your ways, God. I'm praying for your people, God, the sheep that you have entrusted me with, that we don't allow bad company to corrupt our good manners. I pray in the name of Jesus, you teach us what to look for. You give us discernment. Show us, King of Kings, who we should stay away from. Now, Father, there's some who've been slandered, Lord, and corrupted by the enemy. And Father, I know I've been slandered, but you've been slandered first. They only hate me because I love you, Lord God. But I'm praying tonight that the ones that the devil slandered your name to, God, I'm running from church and running from the Bible. I pray they come to you tonight and be saved. Somebody say with me, say, Lord, thank you for loving me, for dying for me. I believe with all my heart in your death on the cross. You were buried in a grave. And you rose on the third day. Lord, save me a sinner. I confess you as my Lord and my Savior. And keep me, God, from corruptors. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God some glory. Come on, give him some glory. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you.